this episode of the Beamable Game Dev Podcast, I sit down with Chris Hanna and we talk about Beamable Update 1.2. Let's jump into it. All right, episode 31 of the Beamable Game Dev Podcast. We got Chris Hanna to talk about Beamable Update 1.2.0. What's going on, Chris?
1.2.0 is going on, Josh. Yes. Yeah. An exciting time.
What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Hey, we're here. We're talking about the latest update and getting the inside scoop here.
Yeah. Yeah, Beamable 1.2. I think the biggest thing is that it brings support for Unity 2021 LTS, which is great for everyone involved. It's great for our customers because they can now use the latest stuff, and it's great for us because Beamable, we support the latest three versions of Unity. So by adding one, we're also then removing one. So if anyone's out there who's using 2018, it's time to pack it on up.
Time to upgrade.
Which can be traumatic. I don't know if people have ever tried to upgrade their Unity projects, but it can be tough. So my heart goes out to anybody who needs to go through that process for one reason or another. It happens. So
I feel like I've heard horror stories, honestly. So yeah. I know why people like take their time on I'll wait till I absolutely have to.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Well, now's that time. You absolutely have to. So
yeah. I mean, it's good to talk about, like, to be honest and open about it. Like, yes, if somebody out there is using Beamable and they're on 2018, we're at this point where, like, if you download Beamable 1.2, it will technically work. But, like, going forward, it's not really going to work. Like, we're not going to keep it at the forefront of our testing, right? Because we got to QA all these versions. So there's only so much we can do.
That makes sense.
Focus on the positive.
Yeah, let's go. 2021. Let's go. Here we go. 2021.
Yeah, so now you can use the latest version of Unity. So that's very exciting. Beforehand, it like kind of sort of worked before Beamable 1.2, but you didn't have to look very hard to find the cracks. There were some hilarious UI glitches before, some really silly loading animations would happen. And then there were just straight up bugs. But it should all be packed up now. So, yeah,
this is a good thing for sure. Yeah, I know you have a handful of notes in front of you right now. Are there any notable upgrades to this update that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, definitely a couple. Besides the major Unity version, there are a couple of other important changes that I am honor bound to mention. One of them is in our microservice feature. This is going to get kind of technical, but when you write your microservices, you write a C# method and then you tag it with this attribute called client callable. And when you've tagged it with that method, now when you deploy your microservice or you run it anywhere, you can send a network request and you can execute that method like from your Unity game or from wherever. And that's how microservices work. So you like write your server code, call your server code. The important change is that if anybody had been calling those methods from outside of Unity, like if you'd set up a custom webhook so that you could like have some other third-party service call your Beamable microservice, then you're going to need to change that client callable to just say callable. So there's a little code change. And then under the hood, the reason we did this is that we want to make sure that authorization is forefront. So beforehand, in a before 1.2 world, you never had to pass an authorization header to run your microservice functions. Without an authorization header, it means that like I can just send the raw network call and it's not associated with any player or any user in your game. And that has advantages, but it's also maybe not intuitive. You kind of expect that your client callable functions would at least require a user associated with them. So we've just shifted that assumption a little bit. So that's what I'm honor bound to say. It is a behavioral change. So if anyone is using webhooks, want to watch out for that. But again, to focus on the positive of this now means that you have much higher control over what functions require user access and what functions you want to just be totally open to the internet to just run as a general purpose server. So that's an important one.
Exciting stuff.
Not that
I understand a whole lot of it, but I love hearing about it and getting the inside scoop.
I'm always happy to give the inside scoop. Let's keep it coming. There are more good things. The other one that I'm very excited about, we've added a new SDK, a new lobby SDK. It's like the feature of what is a game lobby. So like when you go to your game and you want to find some players to play with, you might join a game lobby. And we now have an SDK that supports that, which is pretty exciting.
I'm going to share a quick funny story about game lobbies from back in the OG Xbox Live days. You ever play Crimson Skies? You remember that one?
I don't remember that one, but I did play OG Xbox Live days.
Okay, so Crimson Skies was a dogfighting game, and you had a single like dot up to then five dots and then a giant star. Okay, and everybody wanted to be this giant star rank. So they would come into voice chat and they would be like, how do I get the giant star? Well, me being the, I guess you could say, troll that I am, would say, oh, you have to hit B up A as fast as you can. And then half of the lobby would leave because that's how you exit, by hitting B up
great.
A. And then they would come back and they'd say, did it work? And I said, I don't think you did it fast enough. And then half of them would leave again.
Oh man, what's your high score? How many times in a row could you get one person to
quit? Yeah, finally you'd have people start yelling at you, you know, like, this, you're just trolling us. I know.
Gotta start the game.
So there you go. A little funny story about game lobbies, but hey, that's awesome that we're able to support that now.
Yeah, if we used our feature in that day, we have this tag-based feature in it, which is pretty cool. So you can use it to manage, like, is a player ready or not? But you can also use it for any other sort of, like, state you want to attach to your player in the lobby. So you could have expressions. So you could say, like, once your player is joined back, they could join in with a skeptical expression or an angry expression or whatever.
I love that. That's incredible. That is great. It would be angry with me, guaranteed. They would come back angry after talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so the lobby thing, it supports, like, you can search lobbies, or rather, like, you can look at a list of all the lobbies, and then you can create a lobby, you can join a lobby by passcode, kind of like how Among Us does it, so get into games with your friends. And then it doesn't, like, require you to use a beamable multiplayer after that. Like, this is just the lobby part, so if you want to use Photon or whatever else, like, you totally can. This is just to organize your players before entering a match.
Love that. That's super helpful.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? I mean, the change list is really long this time. It's like almost more than 2 pages, which is long for our change logs for our minor releases.
As I was uploading the blog post yesterday, I was like, wow, this is substantial, which, I mean, of course, go and check out beamable.com/blog. It's the top of the page. If you guys want all the details. Are there any other, like, any other just real notable things that you'd like to mention before we wrap up here?
Let's see. This is my opportunity.
This is your opportunity, Chris.
I want to say yes, but I don't want to just ramble forever. I'll slide one more in, which is that, again, on the microservices stuff, we've added, this is subtle, but in case anyone's out there that's like, hey, I have an M1 Silicon Mac, can I use Beamable? The answer used to be kind of, but you can't upload your microservices. That is no longer true with Beamable 1.2. Now you can, ARM-based CPU architectures can now, like, upload their microservices off to the cloud. So we're expanding our target audience, which is very exciting.
That's incredible. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time today to give us the lowdown on Beamable 1.2.
Yep. Those inside scoops.
Those inside scoops. Yes. All right.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Beamable Game Dev Podcast. If you'd like to talk with other game devs, you can head on over to Beamable.com/Discord and hang out there. Or if you want to try Beamable for free, head on over to Beamable.com.